The goal of the Salunas podcast is simple. Take a candid, informed, objective, and often comedic approach to the human condition. In keeping with this, the use of expletives, crude humor, and references to harsh realities are commonplace. If you find any of this to be offensive, please throw your listening device in the trash. If not, enjoy the show. We are back for another episode of the Salumas podcast. This is Kalu.
This is Chris.
Brandon in the background.
We are very excited for today's episode. One, before going on to the meat of what we're going to talk about, I want to thank Caleb for a very awesome episode. That was our most viewed episode. I was very, very excited about it. The feedback has been incredible. You guys have been awesome. Thank you all so much for listening. Please continue to listen and continue that discussion. We want to bring more of that stuff to the table, but today we wanted to sort of take a little bit of a break from it because it was heavy as hell, and we just wanted to touch on some other stuff. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of things that we talk about this month, I think, and that's what I've got. You got anything before we begin?
I want to thank Caleb as well. He was a good sport about me, constantly talking about devil worship and stuff like that. I don't worship the devil because I don't believe that it exists. He exists, but it tickles me to say shit like that. And he was a real good sport about it. And I think he knew that it wasn't personal. That's just the kind of twisted individual that I am.
Yeah. We're going to do a sausage making session with Caleb and really answer some of the questions that we didn't answer and
Word on the street is that Caleb is quite the sausage maker.
Now he can roll with us.
That's what I've heard.
He'd be able to. He is quite the sausage maker. So we can come up with some good stuff with him. All right. So the topic for today is going to be centered around a question. And that question is, what the hell happened to our sense of humor? Where did we stop being fun and funny? Why is everything so damn offensive now? And how can we understand our place in these times with our joking and with our sense of humor? And how do we make life not suck so much because we're all trying to be fun and funny?
Ooh, and the thing is, like, I think back to the 80s. And we look at the 80s and it was like this pseudo-futuristic, over-the-top bullshit everywhere that you looked. And generally speaking, like, people like Eddie Murphy aren't considered overly controversial. But if you go back and you look at an Eddie Murphy stand-up, man,
yeah,
he said a lot of shit that people would crucify him for.
Ha, very funny, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
That was my favorite part.
Pejorative terms towards groups that don't take kindly to that shit.
Yeah.
But, I think back to the 80s, and the thing is that there was this very, very over-the-top atmosphere where it seemed like everybody... That was the epitome of America. I think that's the way the rest of the world kind of looks at us still, is just like, oh, yes, Corvettes and feathered hair and fucking rock and roll music. Or maybe they used to. Now it's beginning... They're looking at us as overweight dolts. But I think what I'm trying to get at is... As we entered the information age, and that was the cusp of it.
Yep.
When we entered the information age, progressively, you've got people now that have a video recording, voice recording, amazing storage device in their pocket that's far beyond anything that NASA was using to put people on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Just at your disposal. People of low socioeconomic status have that. So you have social progression working alongside the information age where there's greater transparency with all kinds of fucked up shit going on. It can't get swept under the rug as easily. And then at the same time, I think that our system has figured out a way to commodify being offended.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's something that's utilized to play off of the populace to get us to fall in lockstep, whether that be purchasing things or otherwise. Because again, it's fucking funny. Nike can kiss my ass.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to sit here and laud Nike for some noble thing, because it had to have made financial sense.
It made them a lot of money.
It did. And it was a calculated fucking thing. Yeah. And the only element to me is it appeals to the troll in me, mm-hmm. that likes the people that are lamenting. The people that like to call others snowflakes are sitting around so upset about this shit. And I'm not going to fall into that bullshit where I'm saying people are burning sneakers, because it seems like that's been conflated quite a bit. But I know that a lot of people are upset and saying, well, they'll never get my money again and shit like that.
Yeah, but those people that say that, let me be real. The people that say that kind of shit and hate on Nike are the ones buying the $49.99 Nike Monarchs, right? The Nikes that Nike doesn't give a shit about.
Yucky.
Like, yeah, no one cares about those. The people that will stand in line or fight someone for some Air Force, 270s, those are the people that are going to stay loyal. In fact, those are the people that are going to double down on buying some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Those are the shoes that actually make them some money. It's not the Monarchs and those other shitty level Nikes. No one cares about that. It's almost like buying a TV on Black Friday.
That's an excellent point.
Because you're getting all the cheap stuff put into something with a good label slapped on it, and even the companies don't care about it. You know, the companies are just like, okay, cool, whatever.
Well, and you know what's interesting is if you go back to like 1980s again, mm-hmm. coincidentally, this isn't like it's like super tied in together or anything, but if you go back to the 80s, Nike was like cutting edge, like hip type nonsense. Like,
oh, yeah.
You get a Nike check shaved into the back of your head occasionally, mm-hmm. back in the day like that.
Yep.
Not anymore. Not when Pop shows up to his grandson's basketball game from head to toe in Nike.
Yeah.
It was beginning to stagnate. And I, mm-hmm. think that they made a calculated move. It was a great move. And financially, it was a great move.
Oh, yeah.
And then for me, as a troll, as somebody that gets tickled by individuals getting super upset about shit that really doesn't motherfucking matter.
Yeah.
It tickled my gourd something ferocious.
Me too. There was that one thing on the news of, I think it was Ozark College or something in Missouri.
Brandon's the dean of Brandon, Ozark
College.
Yeah,
he probably could be the dean. So when the article came out that they dropped Nike from the athletics, I was just like, that's the type of school where if you get emails from them, like Gmail's like, hey, this might be spam. You know, like, we don't know if this shit is legit or not. You know, it's like, who are you? Okay, drop Nike. Nike's like, cool, man. You know what I mean? Bama still has us. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to be okay. I don't think they're sweating it. Nike is a nearly $100 billion company. They aren't going to be sweating some of those people. So that's just what I think on that part.
Well, and there we go. We got people that have invented the term snowflakes to describe, mm-hmm. overwhelmingly left-wing individuals getting upset. And I tell you what, at the baseline, the majority of social issues that are being addressed by the left hold merit. Mm-hmm. Leave people to fuck alone. Let them identify, like, when people are like, there's two genders. Let me tell you, motherfucker, there are two biological sexes,
mm-hmm.
male and female, based on chromosomes.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have all the anomalous additional stuff, like the XXYs, XYYs, whatever. But generally speaking, biological sex is divided up into a dichotomy. Gender is a social construct, so it only makes sense that it resides on a fucking spectrum.
Sure.
So to dichotomize gender is absolute fucking lunacy. It's absolutely absurd. And I think I've said it before, it's less on a linear continuum and it's more on a matrix. It's a three-dimensional kind of thing.
Go ahead, finish your thoughts.
But my point being, at the root of the majority of the left wing's gripes, there is merit, and it's intrinsically linked to social progress. Us leaving each other to our own fucking devices, as long as it doesn't negatively impact someone else. Your rights extend only as far as someone else's begin. And I know that and what's funny is that that ideal coincides a great deal with like libertarian belief systems mm-hmm. and things like that. But at the core, again, I very much identify with the plight of a lot of these individuals on the left that are fighting for equality or whatever. The problem is whenever you don't have enough real shit going on in your life and you sit around and you focus on fucking minutia to get up in arms about, because I don't give a fuck. Even if you are right, there comes a point where you're wasting your time. Your time could be better allocated towards approaching a more significant issue or bettering yourself, as opposed to sitting there wallowing in anger and taking it out on somebody else online because you've become some social media vigilante.
Yeah. So I want to relate it to the original question with what happened to us and our sensitivity and all that kind of stuff. Do you think that because there isn't enough going on in people's lives, we're now choosing to get offended, or we're picking these things that I kind of think that they're little to get offended about? I never once in my life thought about the bathroom situation, right? I just never did. Probably because I'm a guy. And I'll piss on a wall. I don't care. Right?
He will. Done it. I seen it.
I'll piss on a tree, on a fence, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, even now, if I, like at work.
If you got some money, like he does parties.
No, but like if the guy's bathroom is taken up, I'll ask some ladies like, hey, make sure no one comes in here. I got to pee, you know.
I got to take a grand slam.
Like, yeah, like someone's blowing up the dude's toilet. I'm just going to ask, you know, one of the ladies, hey, can you make sure no one comes in here?
Excuse me, miss. Yeah. I have to take a hot shit.
Yeah, I have to take a big
shit.
Would
you lay a block for me?
Yeah. Stand guard for me. So, like, I have no, you know, boundaries or whatever on that part. I'm not going to be able to fully understand the plight of those people in those situations, but it's like, just go pee somewhere. Take a shit. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck either. Like, sincerely, the only thing, if we had completely, like, co-ed bathrooms, let's put up this absurd hypothetical situation.
Yeah. That's absurd as hell. Yes.
It is absurd, but the only reason why we wouldn't have co-ed bathrooms is because overwhelmingly cis gender heterosexual males are fucking predators, dude.
Yeah.
If you look at the numbers, it's straight fucking cisgender males.
Sure.
That's why we don't have co-ed shit. It's not because women or transgender. The numbers regarding that type of perpetration are much less bleak.
Yeah.
But again, that's some alarmist bullshit. Getting offended, super fucking offended. And those same people think that they can sit in the front seat of their Chevy 2500 goddamn was it Duramax diesel and rant.
He put extra accent on that. He was like, Duramax diesel,
son of a fucking bitch, and sit up there look and they'll get all goddamn, let me tell y'all what, man, I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna rant to y'all for a minute, and I'm gonna use this inflection in my voice, and I'm gonna get real folksy with it, and I'm gonna wink at you, and I got a 5 o'clock shadow, and my teeth are white, so you're gonna listen to what I have to say. That type of shit is really pervasive, and it makes it seem like that this pinnacle of manliness is just being matter of fact, but in reality, that is some old cheese dick ass way of being offended and whining about shit.
Yeah.
That's
actually pretty interesting. Those people that do make those videos, making fun of, or not even making fun of, just providing commentary, that is them being offended by other people being offended. That's the point. That's
their
dear
diary. That's their dear fucking diary.
What happened to just, you had brought up the comedy from like Eddie Murphy and stuff. Like, I think of In Living Color. Like, that was, in my opinion, was the pinnacle of addressing everything. They would take issues and just people in general, literally strip them down to the bare bones and just go to town on them. They would take black people. They would take white people. White people would take black people. Everyone made fun of everyone.
Well, in homoeroticism, there was a big element of like, I guess, well, I don't even know what to fucking call it. Jim Carrey being a woman with the little pigtails and shit. Yeah. and talking like this. Yep. And then you had David Alan Greer and was it Damon Wayans? Damon Wayans had that little tiny hat.
Yeah.
It was on the side of his head. Yep. And they would give shit two snaps if it was good
two
or whatever.
Two snaps in a Z formation. Yes. That was my shit.
And the thing is that honestly, that in my opinion, from that atmosphere and me coming from the household that I came from and seeing that growing up, that came off to me as a very egalitarian way of us all just being like, this is a reality. I might not be homosexual, but playing this over-the-top role in conjunction with it is not inherently negative or pejorative. If anything, it normalizes it to a degree.
Yes.
But the funny thing is if you do that same shit now, you get accused of being homophobic.
Yeah, and I'm thinking also of like Homie the Clown. You remember him?
Oh, he don't mess around.
He would literally take children.
Homie the Clown, don't mess around.
Homie don't play that. That's what it was.
And one of these days, Homie gonna break his chains and prove everybody wrong.
Nobody would take that a sock. I would do this with my sisters.
I would take a big ass wood.
I know.
I'd They're take just a big the ass silhouette sock. Of a large child standing in the hallway.
Oh, don't play that. But just beating you over the head with this stuff. And I think if the same thing came out now, they'd be like, he's showing abuse of children on TV.
You know? God damn, everything like, gets everything gets dissected down into these just like the particles of its existence and then reassembled in a way that fits whatever dumbass narrative somebody wants to take the time from Vice or whatever to write a piece on it.
Yeah. And I think of the sensitivity now.
Fuck the Huffington Post.
I hate those guys. And God,
I look, 15 years ago, I showed them love. But anymore, I'm like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, true.
And periodically, like I still follow them. But if it shows up on my newsfeed, generally speaking, the only interaction I have with it is I'll jump in the comments and I'll be like, Huffington Post, you're really disappointing.
So check this out. It says on this article here, when we're breaking down just sensitivity, it says that there's two types. One type where it means that you're easily hurt, and the second type is referring to where you're easily impressionable. So when I think of people that are sensitive to you know, people saying mean stuff or whatever, I see them, you know, going crying. I was one of these people. I was easily hurt when I was younger. Everything made me cry. You know what I mean? But now the people here, or I don't want to say, I feel like an old son of a bitch when I say this generation, because I really hate
that. You just gotta
accept
that you're in your 30s,
no,
man.
No, fuck off, dude.
You gotta accept it.
Not till I'm 80. Not till I'm 80. I'm always one of the guys, man.
One of the guys.
I'm always one of the youngins.
One of the bros.
Y'all want to go throw the pig skin around? Yeah, man. Absolutely. But it's even people our age where they are just grossly impressionable. Everything. You can turn someone's opinion on some shit, like, easily. Or you can make them formulate an opinion on something very easily without much work. And that stuff, it freaks me out a little bit. So one of my friends on social media, everyone knows he likes thick girls. He likes big girls, right? He's what they may call a chubby chaser.
If you will.
If you will. There's nothing wrong with that.
Picture this.
Yeah. That's, stop it. So he posts this picture of this, like, she's a big girl. Beautiful, though. Absolutely beautiful, right? And, but the meme on there was, it was one of those Colin Kaepernick Nike ones where it's black and white. And it said something like, be willing to ride him on top. If he dies, he dies. Just do it. I laughed. I lost my shit.
Well, there's nothing
but
wrong with it.
But I was just like, there's nothing wrong with it.
No, she's just a
warrior.
Like,
everyone knows that, like, he likes big girls. There's nothing wrong with him, you know? But a girl jumped on there and was just like, you're body shaming. You're doing this. And it was like, I was sitting there like, am I the only one that knows? He talks about it, that he finds this woman incredibly sexy. It's just the...
He's acknowledging that you're going to war against her versus somebody that weighs 110 pounds. Yeah. It's just a fact.
Yeah. But I was just like, how are we at this point where this shit makes someone mad and someone actually tells him he's body shaming? I was like, come on, dude. Like, come on. Really? Maybe I don't have a good enough perspective on it or something like that.
Peep this. I think, you know how we always talk about in our culture, capitalism, the free market, and then socialism is spreading shit the fuck around.
Sure.
Whatever. I think when it comes to things that young adults, adolescents, kids even, because kids have access to shit that we couldn't even fathom, causes, ideas, points of view, etc., etc., they have a near limitless spectrum of shit that they could potentially be exposed to,
mm-hmm.
or that could potentially resonate with them. Whereas you and I, when we came up, we had a handful of generic possibilities for us to draw from because we weren't exposed to the totality. Like, we had the internet, but the internet wasn't the same kind of creature back then today.
No, absolutely not.
It was nothing. Like, again, we could get into some trouble on the internet, but not like now.
Yeah.
Everything is super tapped in. So the individuality thing, and we've talked about it numerous times, this divide and conquer mentality is everybody is super connected through social media and the internet, but so fucking disconnected when it comes to a one-to-one, face-to-face type of situation a lot of times. And I think that also correlates with reciprocity of perspective as well. Mm-hmm. It's me. Oh, that offends me.
Mm-hmm.
These delusions of fucking grandeur that people have, and it comes, people want to disguise it as being advocacy,
mm-hmm.
and it's fucking not advocacy, dude. It's lightweight predatory.
Yeah, it's really sad to look at too. You know, I going back on the part where I was talking where people were sensitive and being easily hurt and all that kind of stuff and easily impressionable. Where do you see? Do you have friends that you would say classify or fall under these kind of things where they're, you know, easily hurt or they're easily impressionable?
Well, compared to me, I think most of my friends would be, I would call them easily hurt because they get their feelings hurt for any number of reasons. That I'd be like, I might get upset and cuss somebody or mm-hmm. cuss in general, but I'm not going to be like intrinsically upset. But I think my peer group tends to be a little bit more resilient than the average. I think a lot of our camaraderie even centers around pulling one another apart or challenging one another or finding ways to ridicule.
Yeah.
I think that's been lost in this culture to a degree. And I think people that don't have that and don't understand that, it causes an issue for those of us that do, because it's not like it's a toxic thing.
Yeah.
They want to correlate it with toxic masculinity, but there's really nothing toxic about it. Some of my closest friends, I say awful shit to them.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say also that we have no problem with you getting your feelings hurt. I get it that people get hurt. I have a problem when you weaponize your hurt feelings.
Mm-hmm.
When something makes you mad and you want to react in a way to try and hurt the other person or strip their ability to say any other thing. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, well,
maybe I explained
it's
the
gaslighting.
Wrong way. It is kind of gaslighting.
That's basically what it comes down to. And don't get me wrong, I'm all about crucifying people, but I'm also all about meeting them in the middle and not holding grudges about shit either, especially if we've had it out. But labeling someone a racist,
mm-hmm.
for example, the conversation's over.
Yeah.
If you label somebody something as severe as a racist, and there's probably a litany of other labels that you could just toss around mm-hmm. loosely like that, the conversation is shut down immediately. You can acknowledge that somebody is racist, and they don't quite understand. Someone can lack prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
And still be racist, if that makes any sense. Because saying them holding no prejudice against a certain group and then them not experiencing prejudice themselves, the denial of other groups, like the whole I don't see color thing or whatever, the denial of other groups having a different plight than themselves is part of racism, the systemic elements of racism. And that's the other end of the spectrum is people get freaked out when I label somebody a racist or whatever. Also, at the same time, if somebody is... if you try to guide someone who is exhibiting racist beliefs, they automatically get fucking offended and they shut the shit down too.
Yeah.
So you got it on both ends, man. Mm-hmm. You got hyper diligence on, but you got hyper diligence on one side, and then you have this propensity to get super duper fucking offended on the other side. And that's, if I think about it, that's almost any goddamn issue that we're up against right now.
So how do we overcome something like that?
God damn. One thing is not taking ourselves so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And a funny thing is that people, and I've said it before, when people get to know me, a lot of times they'll say that I'm way different than they thought that I was going to be.
They and just say I sound different. They're like, you sound like a decent white guy.
And then you show up and I was and just disappointed.
I was just like, my God.
Gosh darn it.
He's colored. Look at him.
Arlene, what'd you get in here? Look at him.
Yeah, here. Boy, how many years of eligibility you got left?
Look how big are you?
how big are you? What? What, 230? That's what they all say. They're like, you 240?
240?
It's like,
my no, left sir. Leg.
Yeah, it's like my left leg, maybe. 307, sir. God damn!
Yeah, I bet you move like a cat.
Oh, man, I get it so much. Oh, man.
But it comes down to not taking yourself so fucking seriously. Sure. And that's what I'm saying is that people numerous times have been like, you know, I thought you were cocky when I first met you or whatever. And then now I'm just realizing that you're just dangling and like, I'm confident, but it's just like confident belligerence. I don't expect you to drink my Kool-Aid, but I'm steady sipping it nonstop. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way that I live my life. But I just don't take myself that fucking seriously. And I think all kinds of people do.
What do you do, or what are some exercises that you do so that you can learn to not take yourself so seriously?
I do a lot of naked push-ups.
I knew you were going to do that. I knew you were going to say something like that. I saw your face, and I was like, I just served this asshole an alley-oop. He's about to dunk it. Here we go. So give me a real answer.
Okay, I try to, if I find myself getting irritated, or I won't even say offended, because I don't really get offended. I just jump straight to, who the fuck are you talking to?
Yeah.
But if I find myself doing that, I try to assess, if I can, I try to assess whether I'm doing that for the sake of myself or for the sake of the conversation.
Sure.
Because there is a difference. There's the, you know, people say I don't have a dog in this fight. If you have separated yourself from the conversation, then I think that allows it a lot more objective communication. Even if things do get heated, that's, you can be passionate about your viewpoint on some shit, but you got to separate your fucking self from it.
Yeah.
And support that shit. And not with something that your dumbass peepaw told you. He's not a credible source of information. Wikipedia is better than your dumbass peepaw.
Yeah, we argue and we discuss and all that kind of stuff and debate because we do that because we want to win. And that's where I think some of the problem
stems from. You kind of, it's, if you look at things in a more scientific terms, like the failure to reject the null hypothesis, you, when you're approaching things objectively and scientifically, you don't go out there with this super duper fingers crossed, I'm going to prove my theory type shit.
Mm-hmm.
You can never 100% assert that, that something is the case.
Mm-hmm.
You can only, and then on the other end of the spectrum, it is what's it called? Failure to reject the null hypothesis.
That's what I think it's called. Let me look it up.
But the failure to reject the null hypothesis is essentially saying that you're incorrect or your hypothesis is incorrect. if you go into it objectively, thinking in terms of, I don't need an end game that reinforces my viewpoint. I need an end game that is larger than me, an objective truth. That's where you're going to get somewhere, or hopefully you're going to fucking get somewhere. But that don't happen. I don't even do that on a regular basis. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm sure there are plenty of times where my asshole self-righteousness comes out. But I know for an absolute fact, separating yourself from what you're doing for the sake of an objective truth in a discussion is the only way to have a truly productive discussion.
And it's hard to do that, too, because I remember reading somewhere, I can't figure out exactly where, but your brain releases chemicals when it knows that it's right about something. So when we're right a
cheese
lot.
Cheese sauce.
It is cheese sauce. I think it is queso. It's just queso.
That's what I do.
It's queso with chorizo. Yeah, it just comes seeping out of your brain.
If I get proved right, it's OV.
That feels so good. But your brain like does. Yeah, you know what?
I don't like chorizo.
Get out.
God,
just get
damn
out.
Brandon.
But when you are right, you do get a chemical release from there. And I think that so many people, when they're right a lot, you kind of are going for that, you know, you're going for that feeling.
Yeah.
And you will find ways to make yourself at least feel right, even though you might be wrong, or even though you may not be right, or both sides may be right, or something like that. You always want to win something.
Or at the very least, not lose.
Yes. Yeah, that's perfect. They don't want to feel like they lost.
Yeah, because winning is a incredibly subjective thing, mm-hmm. but feeling like you lost is lightweight. It's like a all or nothing type of thing.
And because of like the oversensitivity or hypersensitivity or whatever you want to call it, when people get on, if you want to, I'm doing my air quotes, arguments on Facebook, and you have someone using a larger vocabulary or something like that. It's
devil
hard.
Devil is evil.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much Chris. It's harder for people to, A, have that discussion because they feel that you're kind of condescending on mm-hmm. them. And even if you, it doesn't even matter what you're talking about. If you're using bigger words, they're going to automatically think that they're losing. And they're going to get offended by that. Someone's talking down to me. Someone's doing all that.
And then
they'll use words against you, label you this way. The biggest thing is getting told, especially as a man, you're just mansplaining it. Fucking jump off a bridge. Dude, I hate that, dude. I hate being called that because I think everyone is equal. I'm not going to dumb my shit down unless I'm selling something to you to make money off of you, right? I'm not going to dumb down what I'm saying. I'm just not.
Well, and there's the difference between labeling something you've said or labeling you in such a way and explaining to you why you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. If you, in fact, don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But as soon as you get that term thrown out there, it shut down the conversation.
I hate it, man. I really, really hate it. I've seen it. I've had it used on me. I've had, you know, other people. What can we do to beat something like that? Where it's just like, oh, you're being sexist. Whoa, huh?
Yeah, what? I'll be like, it just context is a big part of it. Because if people know you, I think generally speaking, you have more creative license, I guess you could say. And it fills in the gaps. When people don't know you, they fill in the gaps for you. So the context of who you're speaking to is going to have an enormous bearing upon how that shit is received. Because I've gotten in a similar situation to you, but I think you've got a little bit more tact than I do, because I'm a feminist for real. Like, I'm all about, like, I understand that women are subjugated in relation to men. Our entire society centers around it. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't recuse women. That doesn't mean women are fucking perfect. And they're not above reproach or criticism.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, contextually speaking, when people know you really, really well and you have a discussion like that, it's going to work out a lot better in your favor. Whenever you're talking to, if you're on somebody else's post and then somebody chimes in with some bullshit like you were talking about, I end up, since I'm hip to that, I generally am like, I lightweight don't give a fuck what you think about me. I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what you say. Yeah. But only after the conversation has been shut down mm-hmm. with labels. Like, sure, you are this, or mm-hmm. you are doing this in a very condescending way. And again, I know that there's another element to it. Like, it is not our responsibility to be patient and explain things to, well, it's not my motherfucking responsibility to sit here and listen to your bullshit either. I'm sorry.
You, conversations don't go well with you, do they?
That's not a conversation, though. <You're> right. They come at me sideways. Yeah, don't come sliding in sideways on your moped on me and expect me to take that shit well.
Why would you, what other reasons would you say that America's becoming so overly sensitive, or why are we becoming too politically incorrect, or anything like that?
Soft. Everybody's soft. Even these good old boys that are like riding around in their jacked up pickup trucks with their Realtree pattern seat covers as soft as fucking Charmin.
I don't think that we're soft. I just think that we're distracted. That's what I think. I think that it's easier to be offended by stuff than it is to think through it.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, if you live... context. If you live a life where you have, again, the luxury of being offended about shit, then that's what I mean by soft. Okay. Because if you look at a different era, people had bigger things to worry about. And when I space travel.
Sure.
For example, there was a pretty substantial era where space travel was that shit. And we've kind of lost a lot of public interest in that. Well, kind of thing.
Granted, our space program and stuff, it spiked because we were threatened by the Russians. We were threatened by their advances and stuff like that. And so we sort of lost our, as Neil deGrasse says, our desire to dream. We just lost that after the space race and all that kind of stuff. During the space race, so many innovations came through. So we came up with all kinds of shit. And after we got on the moon, because that shit is true.
Hell yeah.
God
damn it.
After we got on the moon, everything just kind of slowed down. Now, a lot of stuff did still come through, you know, when they started doing the many, many shuttle launches and all that kind of stuff. But I think that a lot of that stuff stopped when the government got very involved. And I think that the desire for more stuff with space or whatever, and because space is my thing, I think that it's the interest for it is really starting to come out as it stays privatized, as more companies are doing stuff. Like Elon Musk is doing all of his stuff. You know,
he's
I mean?
Doing the most.
He's doing the most.
Smoking doobies on Joe Rogan. Yeah. The U.S. Air Force is not pleased about that shit.
Yeah, but like they shouldn't have a dog in that fight. Who cares? He's not. He. Do you think that
they're trying to imply that he was working when he was on the Joe Rogan podcast? He was acting as his position.
No,
that's what they're implying.
Yeah,
right?
But it's like, honestly, is Elon Musk making your rockets? No. There's a team of scientists that probably do not touch weed at all. They probably don't do anything like that.
And he was smoking in a state where it was legal as well.
Yeah.
But there is, I think, some kind of potential stipulation with people that are contracted with the degree of security clearance that he has, mm-hmm. not being
now,
able to smoke.
Now, there's a contractual obligation to not smoke. Then there's a problem.
But if not, there shouldn't be no issue. If you got to take away some of his security clearance, then by all fucking means. But the rest of it, just shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
know?
Sure.
But my thing is like you were saying, there was a unifying force. Mm-hmm. There was the space race. It wasn't just, it didn't appear out of thin air.
I
mean, humanity has always looked to blast off into the fucking stars, mm-hmm. but that created this dire imperative need for us to expedite the fucking process. We've been over it numerous times. There is not really anything that is unifying as a culture right now that people are getting behind. I feel like a lot of people are just living to die, and they're creating their own narratives, their own mm-hmm. little realities, their own little universes that they're the kings of. And we're taught from birth to be belligerent as hell as Americans. We're the greatest country on earth. fuck? And I've said it a million times on here. If you were trying to help someone out that was fucking up, you wouldn't sit there and pat them on the back and tell them everything that about them is fucking great and build them up that way. You objectively acknowledge the things that they need to improve upon if you sincerely care about them, because otherwise you're enabling negative behavior. And you can't tell me that the people that are kind of puppeteering this whole thing don't know that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. What are some, outside of that part, or just moving on to the next subject or whatever, what would you consider touchy subjects right now? And on top of that, like as a follow-up, how is our sensitivity or our lost capacity for humor or whatever, how has that really magnified a lot of that stuff?
You can't make fun of religion like you used to. I just saw on Facebook the page Tysonism, which is satirical. It's a take on, like, essentially you could contrive your own legit, air quotes, belief system, call it a religion, just like the Pastafarians with the flying spaghetti monster and all that shit. But Tysonism shares secular memes and articles and scientific shit, and they shared something criticizing a Saudi prince, I believe it was, about what amounts to pretty severe human rights violations. And they were picking at him about his choice of garb, said that they said some moron with a tablecloth on his head and all this other shit, blah, 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 blah. People lost their fucking minds in the comments. They're like, oh, you're bigoted. No, that's not. I'm sorry. That's not fucking bigoted. Yeah. It's a fact. If it doesn't matter if it holds profound significance to you, if it looks like a tablecloth to another motherfucker and you're a douchebag, I feel like it's free reign for them to say this motherfucker's got a tablecloth on their head. It's not a slight against an entire group.
Yeah,
it's dozens. It's making fun of somebody specifically. But it gets taken out of context. Yeah. That whoever runs the Tysonism page got so horribly scrutinized by a handful of people. I think the majority of us are like, I'm just not getting mixed up in this.
Yeah.
But by a handful of people that they put an edit on it. But to their credit, they didn't delete what they said. They just put an edit on the bottom of it saying that they didn't intend to offend anyone. But again, you could go back. Carlin, George fucking Carlin, shit on religion. And I will say, I think it's completely copacetic to make fun of Christianity in our culture. And there's this reciprocal element where it talks about there's a war on Jesus and war on Christianity or whatever, which is a bunch of malarkey. But it's taboo to be critical of other religions. Like, oh, diversity, blah, 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 blah. But when it comes to Christianity, let's point out all the fucked up negative parts of Christianity and not say anything about diversity of thought. But when it comes to a religion that may be tied to a different socio-ethnic, racial, cultural group, motherfuckers don't want to touch it. I'm sorry. They can all eat my butt.
What about how black people will always make fun of white people? White people can't do the same thing.
Well, and yeah, and that's, there's a book called The Redneck Manifesto.
Okay.
And it goes into the very, that very issue that very poor rural whites, redneck white people, are the only marginalized group on the planet that you can absolutely shit on with no reprisal whatsoever. There's not any, there's nothing. If you think about it, anybody, anywhere, anytime can shit on bumpkin ass, you know, super poor, marginalized whites and get away with it.
That makes me kind of think of like Honey Boo Boo, right? Because they were kind of those like country.
Kalu loves Honey Boo Boo.
Nope. Makes me real mad. But honestly, you think of those kind of like those people. Her family.
Those people.
Them people. Them scum of the earth.
God damn, thought pouch them having
deplorable
mother. Son of a bitch.
But you see those people, and honestly, it makes me think of, like, it's okay to make fun of those people, but I feel like if there was a black version of Honey Boo Boo, people would be like, that's fucking wrong.
Oh, yeah. Like, they're like, what is this minstrel show bullshit that you're trying to...
And if they had... I feel like the only way that I really see them, and maybe because... maybe I'm saying this because I don't watch that much TV. It seems like the only time that we put black people on reality shows is like Love and Hip Hop or something, where they're like really fucking rich people. You know what I'm saying? And they are... What did you say, Brandon?
Jeffersons.
Get out.
Oh. But,
he's doing the walk. Yeah. But when you see a show like that, does it not make you think, like, why don't they do a reality show that's on the same SES as the people that are in, you know, the Honey Boo Boo show or whatever? Maybe because there was the whole, like, pageant part about it, but I can almost guarantee you that there's probably some shows about some people that live just like that that are already out there. But I think that if they did one for African Americans or if they did one for any other type of people, people would get offended by that.
Well, the funny thing is I think that is one of the reasons why Dave Chappelle stopped doing his show, is because he felt like, even his show, he felt like it was getting to a point where it became socially irresponsible.
Really?
Yeah, because even though it was humor entirely, beautiful humor, the wrong people were taking it and using it and reinforcing their own belief systems, and it wasn't a positive thing. Sure. It was like, it was this, again, it reinforced stereotypes and shit like that. Now, I will say, if you have a group that is substantially marginalized overall, and that's the thing, is you can't really... It's a difficult thing to divide it up in terms of low SES whites and low SES blacks, because it's overwhelmingly low SES and being black is more intrinsically tied, whereas low SES whites don't comprise the totality of, you know, there's a lot more white people. There's tons of motherfucking white people everywhere. So at this point, I feel like it might be irresponsible in terms of even decent, hardworking, not deliberately prejudicial white people watching shit like that and then making assumptions about things that I don't think we've gotten that far yet. Is my thing.
Wait, you don't think we've gotten that far where we can make humor like that?
Something like that, I don't think that it's going to fly. As far as you're talking about, it would be socially irresponsible because white people would be the number one consumers of it.
Well, what about... and Living Color and stuff like that from back then.
And that's the thing, is I don't think that was reinforcing stereotypes, though.
Okay.
Because the Honey Boo Boo reinforces stereotypes about low SES whites.
Yeah.
If we had something comparable, that would be essentially a show where we reinforce stereotypes about low SES blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Reinforcing stereotypes about low SES whites does not negatively reflect on white people as a whole.
Okay.
Having a show with just low SES blacks reinforcing stereotypes, I feel like would have negative collateral damage on the black population as a whole. So,
but I also think that it's slightly irresponsible to have the shows that we do where it is depicting high SES blacks acting the way that some of them do. When I watch the Love and Basketball shows, I'm just like, well, I don't watch them again. Like, yeah, if when I come into the house and my mom is watching.
Oh my god!
Oh wow!
Brandon.
Awesome.
Brandon's being racial again.
He is. He's being real racial.
You being real racial right now, Brandon.
But when you have some of those people, I don't see them ever showing a show like me, where I'm living my life or something in a reality show.
Like eating Cheetos out of your belly button.
Yeah, it's just literally. That's my favorite thing to do. But
I just go for a little swim in the restaurant.
No, I just think of those kind of shows. Again, they're high SES, they're rich as hell, but they're fucking, like, their personalities and stuff. It's like, good God.
Well, and
it's obnoxious. It's annoying.
You know, and I forget if there's a specific individual that said it or if it's just one of those quotes that I've seen appear, on social media, but stop making stupid people famous.
Yeah. Stop making stupid people rich.
Yeah. And then also that being the thing that people aspire to is monetary gain or fame or notoriety or power.
Yeah.
As opposed to individual know-how and utility and academic success and being responsible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we don't... What do we have on TV that's like that? We used to have the Cosby Show, but Bill...
Yeah.
...running around fucking it up.
He did fuck it up.
God damn it, Bill.
And I believe it is time for something we haven't done in a while. Are you excited? And do you know what I'm about to say?
I'm hoping that you're going to say that we're going to do some topics.
Look at you. Look at you. It is. We are going to touch on a little topics. We're going to add a little spin to it again just because it's me and you on this episode. We're having a little freedom here, having a little fun. I want to pick different cities. So this city, we're going to keep it somewhat local. This is for Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes, so, shout out to CJ Buford. Yep, I'm sure he's responsible for at least a quarter of all of these.
Most likely. But these questions, again, they are... not directed to us, but it is our podcast, so they are directed to us.
Yep.
So I'm going to check here. I found one right here. It is a very, very important question that I think we should all really think about. And that is, when will white men accept the superiority of black men? And let me go ahead and give the description of this one here. Every woman who's not racist knows deep down that black men are much better lovers. This hurts. White men can deny it all they want, but they're only hurting themselves. Humility is a trait that all women love. How much longer will it take, in your opinion? Time is much better spent on mitigating the who the fuck is this? Mitigating the circumstances than playing the victim card and slut-shaming women. Thoughts on this?
Oh, and this is in Louisville?
Yes, in Louisville, Kentucky.
Dude, somebody put some thought into this.
Yeah.
I bet it's a white bitch with bangs.
Someone got the soul pole. You know what, Tracy? White men need to understand, okay? Daquan is a great guy. You know? He taught me how to roll a blunt. Taught me how to ride the wave. I mean, Jesus. So how do we answer this one? When will white men understand?
I don't know. I can't. I'm just ethnic enough that I can't answer that question. But hey, any of you white fellas out there, if you want to answer that question, feel free to give us a shout. We'll put your answer up maybe on the next podcast.
We will absolutely.
But I don't know. What do you think, Brandon?
Brandon, you're kind of
an authority on this.
You kind of are. Well, God, topics. This is incredible.
Oh.
All right, here we go. We have an ad. Looking for a submissive female. Let's see. BDSM, bondage, sex machine. 100% submissive female only. Beginners to experienced. Are there difficulty levels to this shit? How does that work?
Look, I tell you what, I'm not real experienced when it comes to that shit. I would imagine that there are difficulty levels to it. But that ad is too ambiguous for my liking.
Kind of is.
That's definitely been typed by a psychopath.
Yeah, they might be a killer. That's a weird
shit. I will not eat your skin. I promise.
Beginners to experience only.
I'm definitely like not someone, a praying mantis person.
Someone walks in there's like, no, you don't meet the requirements for this one. Sorry. Gotta level up. Can't do it. Oh, man. This one's bad. This is real bad.
Oh, no.
The question is, are there any female midgets looking to put out?
That's what I'm trying to know.
I know, right?
I've put that ad up in so many cities.
Is this one yours?
Yeah.
So are there? I mean, I'm trying to find any. I don't know.
There are fewer little people, female little people looking to put out than I would have expected.
Oh, fuck. You're just a big little person is what you are.
I am. They're like, God damn.
I don't know what he is.
I don't know what he is in any way, shape, form, or fashion. All right. Well, is enough talk about the M word.
Yeah, we think
we gotta move on to something else. And to be quite honest with you, we've been doing this for a minute now, and this was supposed to be a little bit lighter than the last thing that we put on y'all's plate. So I think we're gonna wrap it up. Do we have any shameless shout outs, Kalu?
My mom, I got to see her today. She came back into town. Yeah, she's been hanging out with my sisters in Atlanta. So that's it was good. Went and had a little Nigerian food. It was pretty tasty. It's not something that I could have often because it fucks with your diet pretty heavy. It's just heavy to have. So I enjoyed that. It was good seeing her, and my little sister was here as well. So it was good seeing both of them.
All right. Well, we got, as always, let's give a shout out to Silk and Suds.
Yeah.
We're slacking on our pimping when it comes to the tub nukes and distributing those throughout the neighborhood. But we're gonna try and collaborate with somebody downtown on a night where people are having festivities. Kalu and I are gonna hot pants it and slang some bath bombs for y'all.
Yes.
On top of that, let's give a shout out to That's My Jam at That's My Jam Podcast. That's on IG, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's on IG.
And then, who is it, your homie? At, Oxology Labs?
CEO _ Oxology Labs. AUXOLOGY. So, CEO _ Oxology Labs. That's my boy.
He's good at spelling.
And he's got
I'm really good at spelling.
And he's got the high-tech pre-workout.
Yeah, it's customized. You go and you work with them, and they create a pre-workout supplement that's catered to your needs. So about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, mine, I need a whole lot of vitamin C in mine.
Is that for cock?
Kalu, that's so mean.
I know.
Let's give a shout out to Calvin Wiley.
That's also elementary as fuck.
It's a rookie move. He's scribbling on a desk with a crayon right now. It's like, and give a shout out to Calvin Wiley. Calvin Wiley! Holla! Also, in keeping with that, we gotta give a shout out to Rome Sandwich Company. What is that, a bird? Kalu's drawing the cutest bird. And his red crayon is broken half, too. You ought to see how hard it is with his big-ass hands holding this half a crayon. Oh, we got to give a shout-out. Like I said, the Rome Sandwich Company, they're forever delicious and everything's nutritious. They bring it out fresh. They're courteous. Tanner ain't nowhere near that place no more.
Better not be.
Yeah, even though he was serving up food delicious, he was just a dark cloud.
Mm-hmm. He really is.
But look, shout out to our homegirl, Folk Sense.
Yeah, Sarah keep doing it right.
Come back.
I told her I was going to get her a shirt, and I actually have the shirt, but I just haven't gone and brought it to her. So maybe this would be a good time to just invite her onto one of our coming podcast episodes and just give her a shirt too. It's like, hey, she'll be like, hey, what are we talking about? It's like, nothing. We're just giving you a shirt. I'll see you later.
Just take your shirt and leave.
Just take your shirt. Get out. But seriously, she's good people. We definitely want to have her on for another episode and also give her a shirt.
Is there we always forget shit. Oh, shout out to Powerhouse Gym in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Yes. Tyler Young competing at a high level with the strongman.
Doesn't he have one coming up here soon?
I believe so. He's working on qualifying, or he had just got doing some of his vids for videos for qualifying. Also, shout out to Devontae Muscle Man Montgomery, who it's my understanding is going to go represent the United States in Moss Wrestling, the World Championships in Russia here before too long.
Cool.
So, he's a product of Powerhouse. He's out there holding it down as well. But yes, Powerhouse Gym, if you're serious about making a positive change with regard to your health, it's an excellent place. It's not a one-size-fits-all type thing. Everybody plays to your strengths. It's very supportive. How much you lift is not the determining factor on anything. It's the amount of effort that you exert. So give them a peek if you about that life.
You got anything
What's
else?
What's Eric doing?
Oh, my fucking God. I almost forgot about Eric. All right, the thing about Eric is he bought a brownstone in Brooklyn Heights, New York, and turned it into a 5-story soup kitchen. Shake dancing studio.
What?
Yeah, and he's... I didn't want to say anything. I wanted it to be a surprise on air, but Brandon, Eric Lancaster's willing to bury the hatchet if you will come occasionally and lend your shake dancing talents to his agency and just, you know, just show him the ropes. Because I know you've been in the shake dancing business for going on...
39 years?
Yeah. So, yeah. He's been shake dancing since its infancy. Yeah.
Nah, fuck Eric.
Whoa! No!
And he just walked out.
He just walked out! All right, the tumult is just thick as fuck, son. All
right, guys, it's been awesome. Thank you all so much for jumping on and spending some time with us. Again, we kept this one, like, lighthearted. We talked about just the oversensitivity and all that kind of stuff. So please let us know if there's any sort of feedback. If you are interested in jumping on for an episode, it was really cool getting all the feedback from people over our last couple of ones. But we now have more and more people wanting to jump on and talk and ask questions and stuff like that. So if you have an idea or a concept that you want to bring to the table, please hit us up. We'd love to have you on. Yeah. You guys got anything else?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you all so much. Take care. Kick ass this week, and we are out.
Peace!